Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Morning.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have Danny Saris back today for us to continue our discussion about the mall shooting in Allen, Texas. Another phony event. The Wisconsin State Journal is just putting out a piece asking why there are so many mass shootings. And the fact of the matter is that the Biden administration is paying for these to take place in terms of the ones that are politically significant. Now, if it's a real shooting, then it has real victims and real perps. You're not going to hear much about it. It's going to disappear. There are more shootings in Chicago in a single weekend than all of the mass shootings I talk about, beginning with Sandy Hook, Orlando and Dallas, Parkland, Las Vegas, more recently, Uvalde, Buffalo, Nashville. Now, these are all fake, and there are a whole lot of others. That thing out in San Bernardino way back when, and a whole host of others. Synagogue in Pittsburgh and all that, that are also phony and fake. And you just got to understand the politics of this to get a handle on it. And that's among the reasons I want to bring Danny back. He's now, he turned over more evidence that indicates this is a fraudulent event. But I want to drive it home that there's a massive amount of well-financed bullshit out there, and the government is paying for it. If you've been paying careful attention, you understand that I have learned from participants in the event that Eric Holder came down to Newtown in 2006 and offered the community $140 million. That's taxpayer dollars. That's your dollars, my dollars, $140 million. To participate in this elaborate hoax known as a Sandy Hook school massacre. It was all bullshit. They had tryouts. They had auditions for roles. They had a script. You got all kinds of fringe benefits. Don't pay your taxes. You get free college. You have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. So some people say, well, if there'd been anything like this, people would have talked. Well, it ain't necessarily so. If they've signed a non-disclosure agreement, they could be prosecuted by the government if they talked. And besides, what happens to the gravy train? They're getting money to do all this. So let me start out by saying, you want to go to my blog, jameshfetzer.org, and you want to download my law enforcement false flag stage event checklist with Brian Davidson, private investigator from Texas. Brian's done absolutely brilliant work on not only on Sandy Hook, where he did Appendix E to my petition for reconsideration for the United States Supreme Court, which they buried. Normally, if you go to the docket of the Supreme Court and you look up a case, you'll see, yeah, the main filings, the briefs, the petitions, what have you, but you also have the appendices. Not in this case. The appendices, and for mine, included the FEMA drill for the two-day exercise. It included the Connecticut State agenda showing that they had scheduled this event, even providing a map of how to get there. And then Brian went through and archives and added a lot of photographs demonstrating, and not only was it not a mass murder, but it wasn't even an operating school. So you need to get educated in this day and age. Hollywood, it's come to Washington, D.C., and it's all bullshit. You got a fake Biden, you got a fake first, Michelle Obama. It's almost endless. Hillary's used six or eight different body doubles, even in national debate. It's just disgusting. United States has become a shallow imitation of itself. I mean, no great nation does this kind of charades on their own people. They don't do it. Have too much integrity. They care about the American people. They care about their people. They care about governance. It's just outrageous what's been going on here. Now, before we turn to this latest, I want to hit a few headlines because there's some significant stuff going on out there. So let me begin with Bakhmut. The Russians are basically incinerating what remains of the city. I mean, it's just stunning stuff. When you see the video version, you'll get the idea. There's some suggestion that it could have been mini nukes. I don't believe, in fact, the Russians are using mini nukes, but I do believe they're using sophisticated armaments that are having a devastating effect. I mean, just fascinating how the city is being reduced to rubble, sad to say. This is, in my opinion, the decisive battle of the war, Bakhmut. It's an intersection of all kinds of different commerce and transportation and all this other stuff. So here's a video actually showing. Good stuff, but of course you won't see it until you get to the video. Meanwhile, after the recent drone incident at the Kremlin, which Moscow has called out as a U.S.-backed attempt to assassinate President Putin, which is a very bad idea, illegal. Carter, Reagan, Ford all have signed executive order prohibiting. That's why the mission accomplished on the USS Lincoln was such a fiasco. Somebody, we believe it was Donald Rumsfeld, realized that Bush came out and announced they got Saddam, who actually was taken out in a B-1 bomber strike just 3 weeks into the event on April 7th at a restaurant on the outskirts of Baghdad, where even Dick Cheney, then vice president, was quoted in the New York Times as saying, yeah, I think we got Saddam. His lifeless body was dragged out of the rubble. Not only Saddam, but two of his two sons and 50, 60 members of the general staff. They've got to announce that mission accomplished, except it turned out to be illegal because of the executive order signed by three presidents. That's why it was such a bizarre event. It didn't hang together right. Meanwhile, U.S. and Russia on the verge of a shooting war, according to a senior Russian diplomat. On the verge of open armed conflict. The Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov, for example, has said Russia may be contemplating declaring war on the United States. Think about it. We are working on preventing a fall of our relations with the U.S. into the abyss of an open-armed conflict, said the Deputy Foreign Minister. We are already on the verge. The anger and hatred toward Russia, with which Washington acts in a situation in which it frankly should think of its own safety, is inexplicable. And he's got that right. It appears because of the Zionist influence on our government that Israel wants there to be a war between the United States and Russia. And they think they're going to pick up the pieces and emerge as the leaders of the world. They want Ukraine to be the new Israel. They have a huge stake. I mean, it's not for naught that the Israeli-controlled Congress supports Biden when he says we're here for as long as it takes. I mean, that's just insane. Ukraine has no strategic military or national security significance to the United States. None. Absolutely none. So if you look at this from a rational, objective, historical perspective, what's going on here is lunatic. It doesn't make any sense at all if you understand, however, that the tail wags the dog. That this is Israel using the United States for its own benefit. Israel likes to fight wars to the last American soldier. Then you begin to get the understanding of what's actually going on. The deputy foreign minister said Washington intends to dismiss the statements of Russian officials, including, for example, Secretary of State Blinken, regarding Russia's claim Ukraine was behind the drone attack. He observes, the U.S. has long been a direct participant in the conflict and has long been waging open hybrid war against my nation. I would take anything coming out of the Kremlin with a very large shaker of salt, said Blinken. Blinken, of course, is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. We leave it to Ukraine to decide how it's going to defend itself. Right. The U.S. government is treating any signals coming from Moscow as an element of a disinformation campaign, said the deputy secretary. Meanwhile, Russia is literally ready to use any means at its disposal to deter threats to its security and safety of its leaders. Think about that. Any means at its disposal. Think about that. This is the most powerful armed nuclear nation in the world. Any means at its disposal. He also reiterated Russian claims that Washington shared responsibility with Kiev for the incident, which the U.S. denies. But Larry Johnson explained. Meanwhile, we have 18 gunpowder warehouses on fire in Russia. A friend of mine says this is satellite weaponry the U.S. has deployed against Russia. Key nation don't want to follow the U.S. on Russia and China policies. Leaked intelligence assessment detail how Brazil, Pakistan, India, other countries don't want to follow Biden. Who the hell in their right mind would follow Biden? This is an complete incompetent. This is an actor wearing a latex mask. Who the hell would want to follow Biden or the United States for that matter? Who the hell? Leaked intel docs show key nation, including some of the most populous in the world, don't want to follow along with Biden's policy to Russia and China. These include India, Brazil, Pakistan, Egypt. While the U.S. and India have increased military ties in recent years, New Delhi has maintained a good relationship with Russia and become a major buyer of Russian oil. According to the leaked documents, India appeared to avoid taking sides during the February 22nd conversation between India's National Security Advisor and his Russian counterpart. Some of the documents have been released. This is from that same source, Air National Guardsman, who got the docs out. In the tradition of Edward Snowden and Daniel Ellsberg, some of the docs detail private concerns of Pakistani officials that Islamabad can no longer try to maintain a middle ground between China and the United States. Information about Brazilian President Da Silva's plan to form a coalition of neutral countries. The Biden admin has been furious over his comments because he said the U.S. is encouraging the conflict by pouring weapons into Ukraine. What could be more obvious? In observation, the White House dismisses Russian and Chinese propaganda. Well, that's going to enhance our credibility. We deny obvious truths. Meanwhile, down on the southern border, as the end of Title 42 looms, 90,000 illegals rush to America's southern border over a 10-day period. Title 42 is just days away from coming to an end on May 11th. Today is May 8th, 3 days hence. According to the latest data, some 90,000 illegals have rushed America's southern border in the past 10 days in the hope of making it through before their time comes to an end. The Border Patrol says 73,000 migrants crossed the border in the past 10 days and another 17,000 gotaways who avoided detention and entered the country without permission. Border Patrol makes a distinction between migrants and illegals in this context. But because just about anyone can become a migrant, this writer is classifying them together. And if you self-identify as an LGBTQ migrant, you're almost instantly guaranteed entry. I mean, how ludicrous is that? In just 72 hours, some 22,220 were apprehended at all U.S. border entry points. Meanwhile, some of the illegals rushing the southern border are taking the approach of voluntarily turning themselves in the hope that they can claim asylum and be allowed to start a new life in the United States. Most are processed and sent back over the border under Title 42. A COVID pandemic policy allowing Border Patrol to send citizens coming from many countries back to Mexico. Doing this takes a lot of time, not to mention the enormous level of resources required to keep the process functioning. 42 is ending, which means many more illegals will attempt to breach the U.S.-Mexican border once it expires. Texas Governor Abbott says up to 13,000 will cross the border every single day once Title 42 expires. Every single day. Every single day. There are 352 days in a year. Multiply 352 toward 13,000. You begin to get the idea of what's going on here. This is not a Texas problem, Abbott reiterated. Responding to complaints from former Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot pleading to stop busing the migrants to her city. This is a problem for the entire United States of America. No question about it. In Brownsville, Texas and surrounding area, 6,371 migrants were taken into custody just this past week. The government responded by turning a college baseball field into an outdoor processing center for the thousands of illegals in El Paso, the other side of the state. They're expecting anywhere from 12,000 to 40,000 migrants waiting on the Mexican side. Watch the footage. May 11th, they believe, will be the day they can, without any documentation, come into the U.S. to continue to move on, said the El Paso mayor. We're not opening the borders. The borders are not open today. They'll not be open on May 12th, but stand by. Meanwhile, Mayorkas, this is our Secretary of the Interior, a disgusting creature. After 6 million illegals have already crossed the border, Biden's watch, he declares the border is not open. Has not been open. Department of Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas Friday held a presser in Brownsville, Texas. More than 6 million have crossed the border since Biden was installed in January 2021. Hundreds of thousands are at the border waiting for Title 42 to expire. A massive caravan of illegals is en route to the United States. Meanwhile, Mayorkas is claiming he has a six-pillar plan to handle the millions of illegals. The situation at the border is a very serious one, a very challenging one, and a very difficult one. The border is not open. It has not been open. It will not be open subsequent to May 11th, he said. No serious person believes this. Here he is. It's.
The border is not open. It has not been open, and it will not be open subsequent to May 11th.
Yeah, right. Right. You heard the man say it. I mean, what could be more obvious? It's not open. It's just not open. I mean, why would any of us think otherwise?
The border is not open. It has not been open, and it will not be open subsequent to May 11th.
Meanwhile, the Biden regime official said forcing Americans into poverty by getting rid of jobs is a good thing to save the planet from climate change. Get this back. I mean, unbelievable. A communist hack named Deb Haaland, who works for fake President Joe Biden and his Secretary of the Interior, believed depriving Americans of job opportunities and plunging the country into poverty and economic collapse is a good thing, because it aligns with the Biden regime's climate change goals. Senator Josh Hawley recently grilled Haaland on the matter, probing her for some kind of logical answer as to why the Biden regime is killing off the American economy and how it can possibly be good for the American people, the vast majority of whom did not vote for this kind of thing. How can it possibly be good? In the following, Haaland is seen, heard, explained to Hawley it's better for the health of the planet if Americans lose their jobs, along with their economic stability while starving in feudal poverty, while communist China gets all the jobs, all the companies, all the industry. Jobs for blue-collar workers in this nation are valuable resources. Livelihood and well-being of American families are valuable resources. The ability of Americans to have our own industry and not be dependent on China is a valuable resource. Why should those things for millions of Americans be sacrificed in favor of your agenda for radical climate change? Hawley asked Haaland, to which she replied.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to the witnesses for being here. Secretary Haaland, if I could just start with you, I want to ask you about this memo from the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management that leaked a few weeks ago that suggests that your department, I'm looking at the memo now, it suggests that your department has been prioritizing a climate change agenda over energy security in this country. And I just want to get to the bottom of this and see if this is true. The memo concerns Lease Sale 258 in Alaska, the Cook Inlet project, and I just want to quote from the memo, which I have in front of me. If the Cook Inlet prospect would be developed, there would be additional government revenues and greater energy security for the state of Alaska. The memo goes on. Nevertheless, it's quite a transition. Nevertheless, because of the challenges facing the nation from climate change, BOEM is not, the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management is not recommending this option. And what the memo says is that the government ought to charge 18.75% in royalties, the maximum take allowed under the law, instead of a lower rate that would actually lead to more development. Now, did you agree with this analysis?
Senator, thank you for the question. And of course, royalty rates are such that because our public lands belong to every single American, that Americans should get a fair return on the land that they that is used for this purpose.
But did you agree with charging the highest possible rate in order to discourage bids on the project because of climate change?
The royalty rates are, that's not a surprise. That royalty rate is evident in other parts of the country. And I will say that with respect to our principal deputy assistant secretary, that is her department, that is her bureau, and I honestly, she takes care of that. She took care of that issue.
The answer is, of course, yes. Senator, I know that there's like 1.9 jobs for American in the country right now, so I know there's a lot of jobs at this moment. Holly laughed, interrupted her as she was suggesting somehow too many jobs available in the country, to which he responded, well, I'm saying we don't have enough people. That's why we're having a hard time finding folks to work in our department. Meanwhile, activists demand higher payment from California Reparation Task Force. They want $200 million per person. $200 million in California. Activists Saturday demanded California pay millions to every black resident in reparation to make amends for slavery and subsequent discrimination. Dismissing the mammoth proposals from California Reparation Task Force as too little. A ban were made at a highly explosive official meeting created by state legislation signed by Gavin Newsom in 2020. More and with Danny Cirrus.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. it's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This story is so awful and so indicative of the astoundingly stupid situation we're in today that I'm going to complete it before I bring Danny on today. The demands were made at a highly explosive official meeting of the task force created by legislation signed by Gavin Newsom in 2020. They were hearing comments from the public considering recommendation to submit to the California legislature, but to decide whether to implement the measures and send them to Newsom's desk to be signed. An activist identified as Reverend Tony Pierce was among the most outspoken at the gathering, making reference to the famous 40 acres and a mule promised to former slaves when he took the podium. You know that the numbers should be equivocal, I think he meant equivalent, to what an acre was back then. We were given 40, okay? We were given 40 acres. You know what that number is. You keep trying to talk about research back to slavery. You say about slavery, nothing. So the equivalent number, he says equivocal again, but means equivalent. Number from the 1960s for 40 acres to today is 200 million for each and every African American. So, what's happened? Well, the task force has approved all this nonsense. With a vote that has millions of Americans shaking their head in disbelief and even disgust, California Reparation Task Force yesterday approved recommendation on how the state may compensate and apologize to black residents for generations of harm caused by discriminatory policies. As Newsmax reports, state lawmakers will now consider the 9-member committee proposals. Representative Barbara Lee, co-sponsoring a bill in Congress to study restitution, said at the meeting, reparations are not only morally justifiable, but have the potential to address longstanding racial disparities and inequalities. The task force first vote approved a detailed account of historical discrimination against Black Californians in areas such as voting, housing, education, disproportionate policing, and incarceration. That, by the way, has something to do with the fact that Blacks overwhelmingly commit the most crimes in this country. This is a statistical fact. This is not a theory. Other recommendations include a new agency to provide services to descendants of enslaved people and calculation of what the state owes them in compensation. Chris Lodson, an organizer with a Coalition for a Just and Equitable California, a reparations advocacy group, stated an apology and admission of wrongdoing just by itself is not going to be satisfactory. The task force approved a public apology acknowledging the state's responsibility for past wrongdoings and promised it would not repeat them. California previously apologized for putting Japanese Americans in internment camps during World War II and for violence against and mistreatment of Native Americans. Newsmax tweets. Reparations Vandal. California Reparations Task Force voted Saturday to approve recommendations on how the state may compensate and apologize to Black residents for generations of harm caused by discriminatory policies. By the way, California was never a slave state. Slavery was never legal in California. Here's an extremely interesting piece reflecting on the situation we're in. Black grievance politics is destroying civilization. Without security, there is anarchy, and where there is anarchy, the state can command neither legitimacy nor respect. Arguably, the greatest indictment of leftism is its preference for the vagrant and the criminal over the law-abiding citizen and victim. Or one could add for the illegal migrant over the law-abiding citizen. In politics, there are all kinds of disagreements about the role and scope of the state. But the one thing the state must do is to protect the innocent. Without security, there's anarchy, and where there's anarchy, the state can command neither legitimacy nor respect. Yet, radical idolaters on the left have pushed society to forego basic expectations of public order and civilized conduct. Demanding anything more than day-to-day chaos would be cruel to marginalized people like deranged homeless Black men on the subway. The left has a warped infatuation with society's most entitled, recalcitrant, and destructive elements. The latest martyr is a lunatic named Jordan Neely, who was killed while threatening commuters in Manhattan. The man, portrayed by sympathetic media as a Michael Jackson impersonator, was throwing garbage at people and making vaguely threatening statements about his willingness to go to prison for life. A reasonable person would feel afraid in this situation, as passengers doubtless did. An heroic vigilante intervened, put Neely in a chokehold. Two other men helped restrain Neely, who later died. Seldom is the line between civilization and savagery drawn so clearly as it was in Neely's subway car. The left has demonized a vigilante for his barbaric supposed lynching, but this gets it precisely backward. Barbarism on the subway is a daily occurrence, part of the atmosphere. Barbarism is forcing commuters to fear for their lives and property on a Monday morning. It's what you call it when vagrants shout people to their deaths in front of moving trains. And all the state can do is shrug. In places like New York City, criminals are a protected class. Just days ago, a homeless man stabbed a commuter with an ice pick Jordan Eliams have had 42 prior arrests and an open warrant for assaulting a 67-year-old woman at the time of his death. He is widely reported to have been a menace to the safety of others, in short, a net negative on society. Jordan Neely had no business being on the street. Only a deranged society would treat such a man as an equal. But rather than permit the injustice of locking up violent blacks, governments in places like New York empower criminals to terrorize innocents. This is called social justice, and it's happening everywhere. I repeat, rather than permit the injustice of locking up violent blacks, governments in places like New York empower criminals to terrorize innocents. This is called social justice, and it's happening everywhere. Roving caravan of youths in Chicago regularly riot and loot with impunity. The city wrings its hands over lack of resources in the hood and stages ineffectual awareness campaigns. Civilized society is extorted, literally and morally. Philadelphia recently paid off rioters who were tear gassed while blocking highways during the George Floyd riots. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how many people get hurt, it will never be enough to satisfy the left. They will always find a way to justify the criminals and blame the real victims, whose cries for justice are drowned out by the endless wailing of black entitlement. We're often told the politics of white grievance is transforming America into some kind of authoritarian state, but the opposite is true. We are racing into the ghetto. It is impossible to have civilization when it is a crime to hold members of a protected class accountable for their conduct. In Manhattan Monday, justice momentarily took the reins away from social justice. The normal course of state-sanctioned disorder was disrupted by a brave onlooker who very well could have ignored the threat, like most commuters have been conditioned to do. Instead, he chose to act at great risk to his safety, reputation, and freedom. It would be surprising if not hanged, drawn, and quartered for doing the right thing. He is a fool if he does not expect it. Stunning stuff. Danny, having you here, my friend, having heard all those stories, I'd love your comments on any of those you find worthy. Your thoughts.
Hello, sir. Good to be with you. Can you hear me okay, sir?
Yes.
You know, it's hard. You covered so many subjects. It's hard to know where to get started. But to back up on what you just said, the crime, and particularly the black crime we covered the other day, is so out of control, and there's no consequences for it. I have relatives that were at a clothing store this last weekend, and they called me and told me that they saw a group of blacks just loading up carts, shopping carts of clothing and different whatnots. Could hear them. They were drinking actually alcohol, open container in the store, and talking about how they didn't have to pay for anything, and they just walked out of the store, and they could take whatever they want to take. They were so disgusted by this, they went and told the manager. And the manager said, there's really nothing we can do about it. And they just said, we're leaving the store. We're not coming back here. We're not bringing our money here. And we're not going to deal with this anymore. And they just walked out because they don't want to see it. They don't want to be part of it. And it's just it's everywhere. You know, if you listen to and I tell everybody all the time, invest in a good digital police scanner. One of the best at a low price is called a Home Patrol 2. You can find them online by Uniden. Just put in your zip code and you can listen and you'll hear everything in your area wherever you go. You'll hear the police and you'll hear all the calls and you'll hear exactly what's going on. I think a lot of people would be shocked if they spent a day listening to a scanner in their area. They'd actually listen to everything that's going on. But, you know, sir, the violent crime is out of control. They seem to be perpetuating it. Nothing seems to be done about this, and it's not just crime, it's violent crime. People are getting injured, they're getting stabbed, they're getting shot. They're taking it from the inner cities or the ghettos, whatever you want to call it, and they're moving into the suburbs around the country, and they're just from home invasions to carjackings to the burglaries to the petty thefts. It's out of control, sir. And my personal belief is the elites are using this as a weapon, and they're trying to get some kind of a civil disturbance or civil war or something started to where they get law-abiding citizens, because they're threatening to prosecute. You got these corrupt district attorneys. They're threatening to prosecute anybody that takes any sort of action against these criminals, committing property crimes against them or whatever. They're actually protecting them. And I don't know how long this is going to take place in society, but everybody has to be very careful about where they live and what's going on, because, if you do anything to these people, when they're committing a crime to you, you're going to go to jail. Another big crime, and I want to bring up property crime, is this catalytic converter problem. People have heard about the exhaust pipe on the bottom of cars that has some silver in it. It's the catalytic converter. And you have rings of thieves around the country that are going around with a sawzall, and they're jacking up cars and cutting these catalytic converters off, and they're doing it in the millions. And these are huge rings of thieves that are doing this. And recently I was just reading about a catalytic converter theft where the guy came out of his house and he caught three individuals stealing from his car, and he got into altercation with them, and he ended up stabbing one of them. And when the police showed up, he's dead on the ground underneath the car there with the saw, and the other two ran off, right? Well, of course, they arrested the guy, you know what I mean, for protecting his property. And now he's going to face a whole litany of problems and expense and all that kind of stuff. And hopefully, ultimately, he'll be let go. But they arrested him anyway just to harass him, when in fact, where they expected him just to go ahead and let them steal whatever they wanted to steal. And that's just one instance out of thousands of incidents every single day in regards to that crime, sir. So I don't know what the answer is, other than, try to get yourself out of the cities, get yourself into an area where this sort of thing is taking place at a lesser. But it's really getting out of control. People are really tired of it. I hear it every single day, sir. Something is not done soon to lock these people down and take serious law enforcement action against all this criminal behavior, sir. I do fear that some sort of civil war is going to break out. People are going to mobilize, and I think eventually at some point citizens are going to take this up on their own, and they're going to do something about it. I don't know where that breaking point is, but I just have a really bad feeling this is going to lead to something like that, sir.
Danny, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the Democrats aren't going to do anything about it. This is a problem generated by Democrat policies in cities like San Francisco, Oakland, Chicago, New York City, across the board. The Democrats have made all this happen. And frankly, once you cease enforcing the law for these crimes like shoplifting, it just goes wild. I mean, it's just the I don't think there's any possible way to stop it any longer. And if that's the case, you can envision all the retail outlets in the major cities that are under Democrat control are going to have to close. They're losing money. They cannot sustain business. This is a lawless environment. You're going to have the wealthier people in the communities are going to move to safer locations, a tax revenue available to the cities for law enforcement and other public services are going to diminish. So you're going to have fewer cops, fewer fire departments, fewer social workers, whatever, to deal with the problems of the city, which are therefore only going to get worse. And I think, frankly, it's going to become gangs are going to stake out their territory. These communities, these cities like San Francisco, L.A., Oakland, Chicago, New York City, they're all going to be run by gangs, Danny. And in their turf, they are going to have absolute control over life and death. And there's going to be no way ordinary residents can deal with it. I foresee this as the future of America, thanks to the Democrat Party.
sir, you know, something's going to have to be done because you can't have one class of people just running through society, stealing, raping, robbing, and simply looking at that person and saying, you know what, they're of color, they're black, and that's totally accepted. You know what I mean? Where they can steal. They're carrying guns, a lot of them. We covered a lot of crimes the other day. You know, particularly the Home Depot crime comes up where the lady from Oakland with the other guy shot a security guard at Home Depot for stealing a $50 or less phone charger. You know, they're carrying firearms all the time. And, you know, I'd like to point out it's almost accepted that somebody that is black and that is a felon can carry a firearm with them, it, almost like they're the police. There's no big deal. Not talked about, and it's never talked about where did they get the gun. They're convicted felon. They're not allowed to have firearms, and there's never any talk by the media. They never say, well, let's take a look where they got the gun. Why are they carrying a gun? Because it's just accepted. They move right past that, and they'll just talk about the crime. And it's just, I don't understand this acceptance by the Democrats that these black felons are driving around in their cars, and they have firearms. I just don't understand it. We covered about six or seven crimes the other day. The Atlanta shooter the other day went to a medical appointment at a hospital, goes up, and his mother says they took too long to take care of him, and he got mad, so he shot a bunch of the staff right there, happened to have a gun on him. What was he doing carrying a gun to a doctor's appointment? He's black. They went across the street, carjacked a car, and his mom said, well, this wouldn't have happened if they would have waited on him a little bit faster.
Well, to hell with that. What about all the people who were there waiting before him, Danny? What the hell? Don't they deserve their treatment in turn? Give me a break.
That's exactly right. You know, and she tried to justify, the media tried to justify by putting that quote in there that if they would have helped him a little faster, he wouldn't have had to pull his gun out and shoot those people. But what was he doing carrying a gun? What right does he have to carry a firearm and shoot anybody?
Right.
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous what's going on here. And these felons are carrying firearms, sir, and people need to realize that. You know, with these catalytic converter thefts, I read about one just the other day. Again, I follow this pretty close, where somebody, they caught them, but yet the catalytic converter thefts, these common street criminals pulled out guns and started firing rounds at the homeowner for catching them jacking up their car and cutting off the catalytic converter. And they're sitting there laughing jokingly while they're firing rounds off into a neighborhood, a nice neighborhood, and they just laugh and get in their car and they drive off, and the police don't do anything. They're not going after them. They're not following up with a license plate. They're not going out and arresting them. It's like this is a social crime that's totally acceptable. As a matter of fact, now to kind of cover that, you have to buy this expensive steel plate now to put on the bottom of your car that gets welded in there. It's, you know, I understand it costs around $1,000 or more to have it installed to try and prevent them to go underneath your car and cut off your catalytic converter. When they cut it off, it costs thousands of dollars to repair this. You know, you have to have the car towed to a shop. There's a shortage of these catalytic converters now. It's really a major, major problem. It's taking people's commute car and destroying it. And now they got to find some kind of alternative way to get to work, you know, because they can't afford multiple cars in case one of them gets the catalytic converter cut off. And it's a really major problem. You know, people live in apartments or whatever, don't have a garage. They're stealing them from malls, open garages. And, you know, now it's known that they carry firearms. And if you interrupt them doing this, they'll just shoot you. And it's just, we are living, sir, in such a lawless society right now where the liberal Democrats have tied the hands of police, and they control police through their paycheck and pension. We all know that. And they're just not letting them do their job and go out and arrest these people. And we are living in a total lawless society that they've created. It's extremely dangerous. That's why we have so many police in the inner cities quitting. They don't want to have anything to do with this. San Francisco is so bad, sir, the tourism, nobody wants to go there. All the restaurants have closed that have been there for years. The whole Pier 39 area that everybody has traveled to in their lifetime is about shot. Nobody goes up and down the wharf anymore. The restaurants are gone. There's too many stabbings. There's too many, you know, shootings right there up and down where all the tourists go. Nobody wants to go and lose their life or get their wallet stolen or get stabbed. It's just too dangerous to get on a plane and travel to San Francisco. It used to be a beautiful place and a great place to go on vacation, but not anymore. It's just out of control. You got a lot of the retailers. Nordstrom announced that they're closing the stores in San Francisco. The police aren't enforcing. The criminals, they just come in and steal what they want. So the stores just can't operate like that anymore. There's too many criminals coming there just stealing expensive items when they want to, and they're not going to operate, so they're just closing. So eventually there's not going to be any stores in these communities. There won't be any Walmarts. There won't be anywhere. And the criminals, they're just going to keep traveling farther and farther. And it's just this perpetual corruption. They're like a locust. They're just destroying every community wherever they go because they're not being dealt with. You know, and I eventually think, sir, that some kind of a civil service is going to start. When you say these cities are going to be controlled by gangs, you know, right now they're operating, sir, because they're operating with impunity. They have guns, they're using them, and no one's coming after them. No one's doing anything about it. But I'll tell you what, eventually when an armed group comes after them and starts coming at it, it'll shift. It's going to change. You know, it's really easy to be tough on one side when you have the guns and you're slinging bullets and nothing ever happens to you because nobody else. But all of a sudden, if another group comes after you and they're heavily armed and they start fighting back, then they're going to start whining. They're going to start crying. They're going to start saying they're slaughtered. I mean, I can hear it already right now. But right now, they're operating with impunity. They can do whatever they want, and nobody does anything to them. Nobody can say anything, and they can just steal whatever they want. I mean, it is complete lawlessness out there. And I'm going to say it one more time. I would encourage everybody to get a Home Patrol 2 or even better scanner. UniGen is the brand that comes to mind. It's a very inexpensive little device. You can carry it in your car, wherever you travel. And it's so simple to use. You just enter your zip code wherever you are, and it'll pull.
Stand by. Stand by, Danny. Hold that thought. Right back, Jim Fetzer with Danny Suras.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Danny, you were making a point about some kind of instrument you might have before we were so rudely interrupted. Would you like to complete that thought?
Well, sir, I would also, there's two points to what I was saying. I would just encourage everybody to get a police and fire scanner. They're a few hundred dollars and they are an investment. And most police and fire now are on what's called a digital frequency. So the older ones don't work. You need one of the newer scanners that gets the digital frequencies. But they're not that much. And they really are a good investment and a device to keep in your home because you can have it on in the background and you can listen to the police and you'll listen constantly. And they help you avoid any high crime areas or maybe not going near a certain shopping center, whatever, where there's police activity taking place. And you can hear for yourself where the crime is happening in your city or your town, and you can kind of use that for your safety. You can use that to avoid certain places because, part of not being a victim is trying not to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So you can minimize that by getting to know and listening to the crime. And I've had people buy these and say, man, I listened and I never understood that what is going on in my town until I started listening to these police calls and I can hear all the criminal activity. I mean, the police give the description of the suspect, you'll hear the race, you'll hear who's committing these crimes, what kind of crimes are going on. And it shocks people when they listen to this. So it's a great device to have, and if you don't think crime is going on in your city or your town, or you want to know what's going on, I would also encourage people to do this. Call your local sheriff's department, wherever you are in the country, and simply request to go on a ride along. You've never been on a shift with a police officer or sheriff's deputy, go out on a ride-along one time on a Friday or Saturday night. You want to go on a busy night, and you get to see everything up front. Hopefully the deputy or the officer will allow you to get out of the car. You can hear the interaction. You're going to see him stop the criminals. You're going to see for yourself what's going on. You're going to see people get arrested. You're going to see where the problem spots are in town. And that is a really good way to get to know the town, or maybe if you're considering moving to a town, you go there and you do that. And you kind of get to know the town first before you move there. You listen to the calls with the scanner, go on a ride with the police department, and get to know the area. And I think a lot of people would be shocked exactly what they saw. I've talked to people after they've gone on ride-alongs from suggestions, and they're like, I had no idea the police were up against that. I've never seen criminals like that before. I've never seen such disrespect for the police and what's going on. I mean, it's been shocking for people that have done that. And I think people would really understand what's going on. But the problem is most people are so busy right now working 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week, trying to pay their bills and keep their head above water, that they, you know, they're just not taking steps to see what's going on. They're relying on Fox News or, you know, whatever sound bites on television. And they're missing it because the media is covering up 90% of these crimes, especially when it comes to black crime. They do their best. They don't give a description of the suspect. They leave out the photos in a lot of the articles. They're doing their best to cover up this crime, sir. And it's really concerning as an American to see, because I know where this is going to lead in the future, and it's going to be really ugly when the backlash comes around. And when they start prosecuting law-abiding citizens for defending their properties and their homes against these criminals and letting the criminals go free, that is globalism, sir. They've weaponized the criminals, and they're just destroying society, and they're using criminals to do it. And it's really, really devastating, and I'm really tired of seeing it.
Danny, I think you got it exactly right. Now, you suggested three different videos in relation to the Allen Mall shooting. Here's the first of them. It's a NBC report of what happened. So you can take this to be the official narrative, and then we'll continue with Danny's commentary. Ooh, I've got to get the sound here.
Again, but that doesn't make it any easier for folks in Allen, Texas. Which takes its place on a list of nearly 200 mass shootings in the United States this year, and it's only May. We are on pace for the worst kind of record. Tonight, we'll look at what's going on in America that may be contributing to this surge. But first, we have new details about what took place yesterday when 8 people were killed at an outdoor shopping mall just outside Dallas. We have new reporting on the suspect who allegedly interacted with neo-Nazi and white supremacist content online. And we're learning more about what shoppers on a regular Saturday trip to the mall had to do to survive. We have multiple reports tonight, beginning with Priscilla Thompson. Gunshots shattering the peace of a Saturday afternoon shopping trip.
We need an ambulance. Yeah, we can't get these people to the ambulance.
8 people were killed and 7 more injured, including children, police say, after a gunman opened fire at this sprawling outlet mall in Allen, Texas, just north of Dallas. The victims' identities not yet revealed.
Got one more white or Hispanic male subject wearing a black tactical garb armed with an AR. He's got some white lettering on the vest that says police or security.
Dash cam video shows the moment the alleged shooter got out of his car and began firing. The suspect was killed by an officer who police say was already on scene for an unrelated call.
He heard gunshots, went to the gunshots, engaged the suspect, and neutralized the suspect.
Law enforcement officials say the shooter was 33-year-old Mauricio Garcia, who had interacted with neo-Nazi and white supremacist content online. Overnight, officials searching the home of the alleged shooter as neighbors watched in disbelief.
It's kind of quiet, kind of, you know, wore a little hoodie, just walk up and down the block, did save himself, just always alone.
He went to high school with some of the neighbors, and they just said he was just always very quiet.
This scene, one that is all too familiar. Americans in fear, forced to run, hide, and pray.
We ran to the back, barricaded it with some concrete bricks, and then right then on the security camera, thank God we went in the back at that time. We saw him walk right by, masked up, fake police outfit on.
Survivors returned to the scene today to collect their vehicles, many still in shock.
We heard all these shots started. And she had just been out there, and if she hadn't come in the store, she'd have probably...
As another grief-stricken community gathers to mourn and to heal.
Priscilla, it's so upsetting. Any update on those 7 people who police say were injured?
Kate, six of those patients remain hospitalized, three in critical condition.
As tonight, thousands are gathered in the church behind me, including Texas Governor Greg Abbott, praying that those victims will pull through. Kate.
Lester, we have breaking news about the death of a man on a New York City subway. Jordan Neely died this week after he was put in a chokehold by another passenger. Some writers said Neely had been threatening people on board. Tonight, the lawyer representing the passenger who put Neely in that chokehold has identified his client as 24-year-old Daniel Penny, a college student and Marine veteran. His lawyer says Neely was aggressively threatening Penny and other passengers, adding his client could not have foreseen his untimely death. NBC has learned that the case is expected to go to a grand jury to decide if charges will be filed against Penny. He was questioned by police and released.
I include that one, Danny, since it started playing, because we've covered it earlier today. Go ahead and tell us about the Alan Moore thing and what you find very odd already about these reports.
Well, I sent you a couple of the interviews, sir. And you know what, to me, I'm sorry, I got to say it. I'm not really sorry, but this looks like another drill to me. You know, all the signs were there. I watched a lot of the interviews, whatever was posted immediately by the media. And there was two crisis actors that came out immediately that were acting very strange. They were minorities. And I looked at the crowd videos when they were coming out. I saw some people smiling. They looked bored when they were coming out. Nobody had any redness of the face, no tears. The crisis actors that literally just were minutes away from seeing this, one of them described, I don't know if we're going to play it, but he described seeing the shooter with a bullet in his head, and he pointed to the middle of his head jovially. He just said, yeah, he had a bullet. The police shot him. And he saw all this carnage and all that, but yet he has no redness of the face, no emotional trauma. I've said this many times, sir. When people witness a shooting, a real shooting, their body goes into a state of shock because it's not something you see every day. And it even happens to police and firemen. Often police will be involved in a shooting or even be in there. They'll start vomiting. They'll start shaking. All kinds of things start happening to the body. Nobody knows until it happens to them. And you can see these people are calm, cool, collected. They look bored. I saw many of them grinning again, and they have no emotional trauma, no nothing. The crisis actors are just nonchalant, like they're talking about a sporting event or any other day. They have no concern. One of them even took time. Oh, I just like to take the time to thank the police. You know, anybody that witnessed a shooting would be completely horrified like that if they actually saw somebody being shot and they walked by a dead body like that. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous, sir, the crisis actors they're getting. I mean, there's so many holes in this thing that don't make sense.
Well, Danny, and you had previously pointed out to me, if there's a shooting, everyone just heads for the hills. They get the hell out of Dodge. And you got all these people standing around so they can walk out in a crowd with their hands raised. Isn't that proof right off the bat that this is a phony stage event?
Sir, I was going to get to that next. I was just kind of setting it up. If you notice and you watch the videos, you'll see the police. I really need everybody to kind of focus on this and kind of clear their mind of what's going on here. And we're going to use some critical thinking skills here. Okay, real life. If you're in a shopping mall, okay, and you're shopping with your loved ones or by yourself, and you're walking around, and all of a sudden a guy appears somewhere within eyeshot of you wearing a black tactical gear, like they described this individual, and with a long arm rifle, right, and some kind of a vest on. And you can see the muzzle flash coming out of, you know, the gun. It's obvious that he's shooting him. And you see bodies falling. Okay, if you actually were to see that in real life, no matter where you are, the flight is going to take over of your body and you are going to rut. You're not going to sit there and stand there and go, gee, look at that, he's shooting people. It's natural. Everybody that goes to this mall knows the mall. They know where the entrances are, the exits are. And they're going to run like hell as fast as they can to get out. They're going to run into stores. They're going to run for cover and hide. They're going to run like rats off of a sinking ship, sir. Okay? And they're going to take off. And that's the way it is. But by the time the police shows up, that place is going to be a ghost town. Everybody is going to be gone. But yet what we see, and this is very important, what we see on the media is we see all of a sudden, we see the police walking out with long arms, and we see hundreds of people in the mall, not hundreds, but, you know, 50, 60 to 100, and we see them walking out with their hands up, okay, with the police, and they're all in the mall still. And the other thing that's really interesting, it kind of reminds me of the moon landing, sir. They wait until the TV cameras are there set up to film it. This would have been long gone. You would have never had that many people organized, stayed around inside of a mall with a shooter walking around shooting people with a rifle, and all these people just sit there and wait for the police to show up so they can be escorted out of the mall with their hands up in front of the news cameras that happen to be there perfectly set up to catch the shot. Now, that's impossible, sir. That's never going to happen. By the time the news cameras got here, this thing is going to be long gone. That mall would be a ghost town immediately when those shots rang out. And there's none of this escort. It looked like a children's fire drill with them walking everybody out. You know, can you imagine the police showing up and getting into a gun battle in the mall? Okay, if that really happened. And then they get on the bullhorn, excuse me, everybody just sit around and wait. We're going to walk everybody out at the same time. The TV camera is setting up outside. We want to make sure they get a good shot. We'll let you know. Okay, you guys ready? Everybody ready? We're going to walk out now. And the TV camera is sitting there to catch the whole shot when they all walk out. And nobody's upset. Nobody has redness of the face. They all look bored. They're smiling. When you slow down the video, you can see many of them smiling and jovial. There's no emotional drama amongst anybody. All the crisis actors, many of them are smiling on the camera, not shaking. Your hands shake convulsively when you've been involved with anything, even a car accident. People get up, you know, they're, you can see the emotional trauma when you roll up to a car accident. People involved, you can tell by looking at their hands, they're convulsively shaking, and nobody's upset. Nobody has a tear. And they're, when they describe what happens, they're talking about like a sporting event. You see people yawning, and nobody's going to sit back yawning like they're bored, okay, right in front of the news crews. This is never going to happen, sir, in real life. Never. Why? How is it possible that the TV cameras could be there set up perfectly, and the police wait and hold a crowd inside of a mall with a mass shooter to escort them all out in line together as a group, okay, in front of the TV cameras? That's never going to happen, sir. As soon as those shots go off, if you go to any video, okay, and there's many of them online, to any mass shooting at all, and you go to them, and you can see people run like rats. They fly out of the parking lot. They run in all directions. They don't sit around and wait for the police to show up and be escorted out of the area in front of the TV camera, sir. This was all an orchestrated drill. You can see there was a lot of minorities for some reason. I've never been to this part of Texas. I don't know anything about it. But I know it's a high concentration of minorities in this crowd, which I thought was very interesting. And you could just see that nobody is upset when you analyze all the videos, and I sent you many of them. So, sir, in my opinion, again, this is just a false flag drill. I mean, we don't have any smoking gun evidence like we had in Tennessee, where we saw, you know, the changing of the shoes, and we saw the plastic BB come out of the gun and bounce off of the wall, the simunition. But the, you know, that's smoking gun evidence. We don't have that. All we have is what the media is showing. They're also not showing us the shooter. They're not really showing it. And I ran his name again, and we'll go into that, but I can't find him in the database. I did find somebody with that name that came up in that age, but the problem is it's not that person, okay? It actually turned out to be a wanted felon by the police, but it's actually not this particular individual. And I just can't find this individual. The name comes up. He's a ghost. And the media is telling us who he is and all this stuff, and none of this comes up. Why can't I find him? Every time I run the background check and try to check on a violent felon that's black, that we see in the media that did a shooting, many of them we talked to the other day, when I pull them up, they come right up. I can see their rap sheet in seconds. I can see their arrest record. I can see everything about them, okay? But when we have these high-profile ones where Mockingbird Beatty is showing it on every single network, and it's an AR-15, and all the signs are there, it always turns out that the shooter is a ghost, and they don't want to notice this time. They don't want to show his picture, right? They're not giving us a lot of details about this, just a description about him, sir. It's just absolute joke every single time, and I'm sure more evidence will come out over time, but this looks like a complete false flag drill, sir, and they're just playing on the news like it really happened. Of course, they announce it's an AR-15. What else would they, what other kind of gun would it be? And that, it's just another one, sir. And I can't wait to hear what, like, Brian Davidson has to say or some of your other experts come on to say. But this thing is a complete, made-up drill, sir. That's the way I see it.
Oh, Danny, you're nailing it. Of course, you sent me yesterday a Texas mall shooter update. Mauricio Garcia, 33 years old. The news report him as a security guard. That means he'd be licensed and have a guard card, which, of course, you've been unable to find in any way, shape, or form. There's only one guy with his name. He does not match the suspect they talk about on TV. The media keeps changing the story on how many people died. They can't keep their story straight. The fire chief did a press conference I sent. You said two died, three were critical, four stable. The media keeps reporting different numbers than the fire chief. Nine died or eight died. The fire chief said two. Blows a news report that doesn't show the shooter's face. Says he now used an AR-15 in the shooting. He's also wearing black tactical gear and right-wing emblems on his clothing. This is complete BS. Recently, the left has had their AR-15 bans overturned by the courts. In Illinois, they overturned a ban, and then they judge shopped and found a judge to reinstate the ban illegally. This is taking place in California as well. All of their bans are being overturned. This event seemed to be their attempt to support the bans. The second report is an attorney explaining how a recent judge broke a bunch of procedures to overturn the court's overruling the bans as unconstitutional and reinstate the ban. Now, here's one of these interviews, Danny. I'll go ahead and play it, and you can comment.
My name is Jonathan Boyd. I'm the fire chief for the Allen Fire Department. I'm going to speak to the medical part of our response. When we received the call, we activated our active attack integrated response. Our rescue task force teams found seven deceased individuals on scene. We transported nine individuals to the hospital, to area trauma facilities. Of those that we transported, two have since died. Three are in critical surgery, and four are stable. I'll now turn it over to Police Chief Harvey. The total would be then nine.
My name is Brian Harvey, the Chief of Police in Allen, and we're all saddened by this event today, this tragic event today. At 3:36, our officer was at Allen Premium Outlets on an unrelated call. He heard gunshots, located the gunshot, located the shooter, neutralized the shooter, neutralized the threat. We believe at this point that the shooter acted alone. We are asking for the public's help. If you are a witness, if you have any video, please call 1-800-CALL-FBI, 1-800-CALL-FBI. This is an ongoing active investigation. We've had tremendous local, county, and state and federal support, and we appreciate that.
My name is Jonathan Boyd.
I'm not quite sure if we got it all, Danny, or not. Okay, I do have, here we go, another interview, Dan. I'll play this too, and then you can talk about both.
The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals just granted the state of Illinois their emergency request to stay the injunction, which was granted against the state and ultimately stopped their unconstitutional ban on so-called assault weapons and also large capacity magazines. This means that the state of Illinois' assault weapons ban and magazine ban was allowed to go back into effect. However, the way that this was done did not adhere to the federal rules of civil procedure, and the Seventh Circuit judge who granted this stay did something that Justice Alito and Justice Thomas recently warned the lower courts against doing. But now with one judge in the Seventh Circuit just flippantly granting the state of Illinois' request for an emergency stay and putting back in place this ban on magazines and rifles, I think this issue now is ultimately destined for the Supreme Court to review all of this issue, to step in on an emergency basis and potentially grant an injunction halting the enforcement of this assault weapons ban and magazine ban. Now, before we dive into all this, I want to thank everybody who's been supporting the channel, who's been subscribed to the channel, who's helped me to reach 500,000 subs. USCCA provides you with legal protection in the event you have. Now, on this issue of the Illinois ban on so-called assault weapons and magazines, there are a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot of things that we need to cover, but my general point for this video and the main thing you need to take away from this is that the Seventh Circuit granting an emergency stay in the Barnett case, which they just did yesterday, in conjunction with the Supreme Court's interest in the NAGRB Naperville case, can end up forcing the Supreme Court's hand to grant emergency review in that NAGR case, or maybe even in the Barnett case. I think what just happened is that the state of Illinois overplayed their hand, and this single anti-gun judge in the Seventh Circuit made a very tactical error. Barnett v. Revel is the case where the Seventh Circuit just granted an emergency stay in favor of the state of Illinois, and that is a general challenge to the state of Illinois' PIC Act. The PIC Act is the state of Illinois' law which recently banned the sale and purchase of so-called assault weapons and also large-capacity magazines. Yes, I know those aren't real terms, those aren't real things, but what we're talking about here is the legal definitions found in the PIC Act. Last week, a district court judge, McGlynn, issued a ruling in review of this Barnett case, and he granted a preliminary injunction against this law. He found that the state of Illinois' assault weapons ban and magazine ban were inconsistent with the Supreme Court's rulings in Heller and Bruin, and therefore he put a temporary halt on its enforcement. In simplest terms, when a court grants a preliminary injunction, it simply puts a temporary halt on the enforcement of that specific law until
Okay, and I were into a break. We'll return with Manny Suris and discuss this case.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio,
every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Danny and I are going to continue discussing this Allen Mall shooting, which appears to be just one more staged event. You wonder how much they got paid to do this one. But we are opening the lines to your calls, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Danny, you made so many excellent points. Yes, I like that the Supreme Court is overturning all these phony bans that aren't legal under the Constitution. I mean, people ignore. They claim the Founding Fathers weren't thinking about military-grade weapons when they, you know, implemented the Second Amendment, but they were thinking precisely of military-style weapons. I mean, the whole idea was to have an army of citizen soldiers. It could come to the aid of the nation in a time of need, and I say, thank God we got them. I'm getting reports, by the way, that a whole lot of government agencies you wouldn't suspect have been stocking up on weapons, and it's pretty clear they're going to use them. They're intended to use them against the American people, and the IRS has resumed its interviewing for new members who are willing to use lethal force against Americans. I find all this completely appalling, Danny, but there it is, staring us right in the face.
Well, I would agree to that, sir. I mean, you know, it's a really bad situation. I mean, you know, that attorney you just played did a pretty interesting job of talking about how, you know, the bans through the multiple decisions of the Supreme Court, they lifted it. And they keep banning, I'd like to say they keep attacking law-abiding citizens, but they're allowing the criminals to be armed and go out and commit these horrendous crimes against the people. But yet, while law-abiding citizens want to buy firearms, they keep attacking the law-abiding citizens. You know, the person has a job, pays taxes, doesn't even have a parking ticket. That's the person they keep attacking. And they keep attacking more criminals, and they don't want those people to be armed. It's quite amazing, sir. But that guy did a really good job, and that attorney did a good job explaining what's going on. And in desperation, the courts threw out the gun laws in Illinois because they're unconstitutional. You can't do that. And, you know, that was the end of it. But they judge shopped and found this judge that threw in this injunction and reinstated their unconstitutional bans, you know, as a desperation attempt. And then they pulled this false flag, you know, to try and reinforce, see, we have to have these AR-15 bans. And, you know, the elite are desperate to take weapons around from the public because they're afraid at some point people are going to rally and organize and come after them. And they don't want them to be armed. And the number one rifle or gun in the United States is the AR-15 because people get trained in the military with the full automatic version, and the semi-automatic version is available for the law-abiding civilian. They're lightweight. They're very easy to shoot. They're very accurate. They go, you know, several hundred yards, and they're perfect for, self-defense and, fighting off multiple intruders in your home. They work quite well for that in an emergency, right? They just don't want people to have them. It's ridiculous. And this particular mall shooting, again, you know, they told us that this guy was 33 years old, again, so we got the 33, right? Notice the 33.
Oh, yeah, sure, Danny, of course.
You know, he's 33 years old, so that ought to be a clue right away, right? Why, how's he 33? We look up his age in multiple different ways, and we can't find him. We do find somebody that's that age, but it's not that person. He's actually a wanted felon from another country. It's not the individual they're talking about. They're not showing the photograph of the guy's face. Of course not. And they also make the mistake of telling us he's a security guard. Well, in the United States, sir, to be a security guard, you have to have a license. And it comes with this thing called a guard card. And everybody has to carry it as a security guard and keep it in their wallet and show it to law enforcement should they, you know, it be requested by local law enforcement. But they're all licensed. Just like a realtor has a license, a doctor has a license, a nurse has a license, you know, a lot of professions have a license. Well, that profession has a license. Well, we went into the database, and again, we don't see anybody with that name with a guard card. We can't find this individual. The media shows that he lives in this particular home. Well, that's all good, but you know what? We can't find the guy. Again, now, why is it, again, in this high profile, we can't find the guy? He comes up as a ghost. But yet when I see these other crimes around the country, particularly the black shooters that we talked about the other day, they come right up and we can see the rap sheet. We can see everything about them. We can see their history, how many times they've been arrested. You know, we can see all this kind of stuff. But with these high profile cases, we seem to never be able to find the profile or the background. Again, they don't want to show the picture. We haven't got any names of the victims released yet. They do it all in stealth because they know that, you know, there's going to be guys out there that are going to be looking. They're going to be like your other private detective that you have, Brian. He's gonna go out there and find this guy and look at his rap sheet and see what's going on with this guy. He's gonna go out and do the same things that, you know, and we can't find him. So when they put up a ghost character like this, they can just say anything. They can call him a space shuttle pilot. They can call him whatever they want and put this stuff on the news. And again, attack the AR-15 wearing black tactical gear. And then another media source said he had right-wing emblems on his clothing or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just comical, sir. It's just one thing after another. Every time they need a shooter.
And he was wearing his red MAGA hat.
Yeah. Every time they lose, sir, in court, and they lose, the courts are slowly but surely to overturning their gun laws as unconstitutional. They pull one of these shootings out of their hat, right? They use taxpayer dollars to put it on, cost them thousands of dollars to do this. They pay all these people to be involved with this. And then they put one of these off to try and support their illegal gun ban, sir. And it's not going to work. People are not going to give up their weapons. Law-abiding citizens, criminals can't have guns. Okay? Criminals are not allowed to have guns. Law-abiding citizens in this country are allowed to own and use firearms to protect themselves and their property. But we talked about it earlier, how district attorneys in many cities are attacking law-abiding citizens and saying, we will throw you in jail if you do anything to try and fight off a criminal stealing your property or trying to harm you in any way. And we see that. They are arresting law-abiding citizens for defending their home and defending their loved ones and throwing them in jail while letting the criminals go on and do whatever they're going to do. And it's quite disgusting what's going on, sir. But this one takes the cake again. I wish we had more of a smoking gun on this. I sent you a crisis actor the other day. I don't know if you have the video ready. I would love to that comical crisis actor that comes up with the interview. And he describes how he walked by the guy and he had a bullet to his head. He points right to his forehead. And you can see at the end, he said, oh, and I would just like to take this time to thank the police. I mean, no. Real eyewitness is going to talk like this. You'll be able to see this guy is almost jovial. He has no emotional trauma when he's speaking, whatever. He's not upset. He has no redness of the face. His eyes aren't tearing. He just witnessed this horrendous act, And then he happens to come on the media with the stupid little Connie speech that he puts up. And this is an example of a crisis actor 101, sir. He is terrible. He oversteps his bounds. He says too much. The camera cuts him off at the end. And I think he even realizes that he went too far with the thanking of the police and all this stuff. No eyewitness would talk like that. He'd be shaking, crying. He'd have tears. He'd have emotional trauma. You know what I mean? He would be completely distraught. But yet we got this guy that comes right on camera and talks about how he walked right by the shooter and that had a bullet in his head. He's not even upset or anything. He's just, it's just a regular day. So it's almost like he sees this every day, several times a day. No big deal. Life goes on, you know. And you can just tell, sir, this guy is a crisis actor. It's such a joke.
Danny, he's comical. Danny, I think I've got it. If you just give me a sec, I think I've uploaded it here, so we'll be able to catch it momentarily. I think we played part of it last time, Friday, but let's take a look here today. Here it is. It's here.
I know you're still working on it, Jack. Thank you. Folks, I want to make sure that you understand a lot of the information we are providing for you right now is unedited. It's coming directly from that scene. So if you will bear with us on what you're about to hear, there was one witness we're told who spoke with our fellow journalists and others. And so it is unedited, but we want you to hear it. Take a listen.
So what happened, we were inside the store, all of a sudden we heard a gunshot and everybody was panicking, but the store we were in, they were very helpful. They took everyone in the back, then the police came, SWAT team came, they brought us outside, then they escorted us out. When we were walking outside, across from Michael Cole, we saw the dead body. The guy, he had all the gears, he looks like a police officer, but when you look at his shoes, he was wearing Converse. So that's make you think that, you know, he was just trying to trick the people. And he was shot right here in his forehead. So yeah, this is very, you know, devastating. Maybe police, SWAT. But one thing I want to say, you know, I want to thank Allen Police. I want to thank all of our police. You know, they're putting their life up there and trying to help people, you know. But it's a very sad and very frustrating situation that we are seeing.
Thank you so much. You are
welcome. Thank you.
He wants to thank the police, Danny. He's so appreciative to the police who put their lives on the line. Tell us.
Yeah, well, sir, that's a crisis actor. You can see his handler right there with the beard right there, standing next to him when he's on the media. You can see a person leaning against their truck, yawning. They're bored. In the background, you can see the other lady on the grass walking in circles there, just kind of standing there like it's her turn next to go on the TV camera. You know what I mean, sir? And the guy with the beard standing there, you can see he's supervising the whole thing. But the guy talks about, and he points to his forehead about how he saw the guy with the bullet in the head, and one of the reporters says, who shot him? And he said, oh, I guess police SWAT shot him. You guess? You were standing right there, you would have saw it. Okay, if you did see it, you know, and he says he had all the gear on. What does that mean? He had all the gear on. You know what I mean? Sir, that's absolutely comical. That's not how an eyewitness would talk at a shooting. Okay, they don't act like that. He has, again, no emotional trauma. He's not upset. Okay, he's just talking like normal, like he sees this sort of thing every day. No big deal. I just walked over a guy with a dead body, had a bullet hole in his head. Okay, he would be shaking, sir. Convulsively, okay, his face would be red. He would be extremely distraught if he witnessed something like that, okay? And he wouldn't be coming right on the TV camera just minutes after he saw what he saw. You know, there's hundreds of people in there, and how did they interview and go through all of these people that were in the mall to find the one or two guys that saw the guy with the bullet in his head? They have to get this guy ready and have him queued up to come on TV and give that little speech that he gave. And that's one of the, there's a few others like that, sir, but that is one of the most comical ones that I saw. And that's just, and then at the end, he said, I would just like to take this time. You know, I'd like to thank the Academy Awards for this trophy. I mean, he was just being ridiculous and comical. I would like to thank the police. They don't do that. Eyewitnesses don't talk like that, sir. And they certainly don't talk like that after a traffic accident or horrendous violent crime that they just witnessed. They just don't talk like that. That was a crisis actor, sir. He was reading a speech, and you can see his handler standing right next to him. Waiting.
Well, as you know, the party's cast as Emily Parker and Vicky Soto in Sandy Hook have told me through Steve that a lot of crisis actors in Nashville were trained in Connecticut, and that while Vicky got $210,000 to reprise her role as Eva Morales in Uvalde, that they've jacked it up, and now they're getting $310,000. I mean, Danny, they're just throwing money around like water. And I take it Eric Holder is still running all these little operations. I mean, it's just a disgrace. I mean, what kind of a nation perpetrates all these frauds on their people to manipulate them to give up their rights under the Constitution, Danny? This is just a chicken shit country that turns out to do things like that. I'm disgusted.
Well, sir, they print the money, and they want total control over the people. And, you know, they'll do whatever they can to remove the weapons, and they're pulling off these false flag attacks to try and persuade the public and Congress members to go along with this unconstitutional gun control. And they're trying to remove weapons from the public so they can feel more secure about their tyranny, and they don't have to worry about the public forming a militia and coming after them. And that's what this is all about. There's been many military leaders testify to Congress about this and telling them that, you know, eventually people are going to come after you for doing this. Because you're committing tyranny on the people, and it's unbelievable that they're doing this, but they are doing this. You know, I just saw an interview, sir, with an Australian military expert, and I don't think I've sent that to you. It's only about a minute and a half long, but he's on the radio a lot. He does a lot of podcasting. He's from Australia. He's been talking about all the atrocities that have been happening in Australia through this COVID thing, warning people against the shot and what's going on. He's just, you know, he's a kind of a high profile individual on the internet from Australia. And he's talking to an American military expert. And in the interview, the clip, he says, you know, what's holding the world together from completely falling has been the United States. And the number one thing that he says in this, it says it's the U.S. Constitution and specifically the Second Amendment. He said the elite of the world, he's saying this in this Australian accent, the elite of the world have not been able to get past the Second Amendment in the United States Constitution. And because the public is so well armed and there's so many guns in the United States, they haven't been able to carry out the tyranny at the level that they would like. They've been blocked at every turn. And he said, when all of this is over and the dust settles in Australia, we're going to readapt the Second Amendment from the U.S. Constitution along with a lot of the other amendments. And he goes on to the Bill of Rights and different things to the U.S. Constitution and how brilliant the document is. And he says the rest of the world is watching. But that is the number one reason why the world has gone into complete chaos is the United States Second Amendment. And he specifically says that the elites have done everything they can to try and get rid of it and try to bypass it, and they have not been successful, and that is what's been holding up.
Danny, you can play it right there on your desktop, and we'll just listen to it. Why don't you see if you can play it?
I don't. The problem is it's in a 2-hour or hour and a half report video.
Oh, okay.
Segment. I have not been able to pull it out. I don't have the software to do that.
Okay.
But I will send you that clip, and maybe you can pull it out of the video. I know. You have some software I don't have.
Danny, isn't it just astonishing how many of these phony events they're running around the country? And when they have the political need for it, the Jesse Smollett thing was such a blatant example of a really bad one that went wrong to support this anti-lynching bill of Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. Nobody thought it was necessary. So at 2 a.m. on the coldest night in Chicago, they claim a couple of rednecks who were happened to be carrying a bottle of bleach and a noose attacked this black gay actor coming out of the subway. 2 a.m., Danny. I mean, this is the dumbest story I ever heard. He wound up paying them with a personal check for $3,500. They were two black Nigerian bodybuilders. One was his personal trainer. The other was an extra on the set of Empire where he was an actor. I just can't believe this kind of nonsense goes on and people are going to supposed to take it seriously.
Well, this kind of manipulation is going on, sir. And, you know, they're trying to put black against white. They're trying to, you know, pass suppressive laws. And they use these kind of stunts. The Jesse Smollett thing is like a little drop in the bucket. I mean, it was bad. He got caught. Of course, you know, he's going to be shunned and embarrassed by that. Blacks all over the country on podcasts are shaming him. So he's taken a beating like no other. It probably cost him his career. You know, who knows how much money that cost him. And he's forever in history embarrassed as a liar. And he made that up. He's a reverse racist. And he made that whole entire thing up. But when it comes to this gun control, sir, people use firearms every day to secure the safety of their home or their vehicle. Just like having a fire alarm or a fire extinguisher in the home. And
I
encourage everybody to have a few of those just in case, right? You can fight off, you know, obviously a small fire. You can put it out quickly so it doesn't turn into a big fire. Or if the fire department's on their way, calm the fire a little bit until they get here. It's very, very important to have fire extinguishers in your home just in case. And also a little medical kit. There's nothing wrong with having some Band-Aids and some antiseptic and some extras, you know, just in case you cut yourself, anything could happen, you know, stop the bleeding, some blood clot, different things like that. So, you know, that's encouraged, right? Well, what if someone breaks into your house or comes to steal your car or wants to come in and steal your jewelry or money or food or whatever? You know, oh, no, you can't have a gun. You just have to give them your jewelry while they're pointing a gun at you, hand them all your belongings. Let them do whatever they want. They can go through your house. Because if you do anything to defend yourself, you use a firearm to protect your life while they're trying to take your life, we're going to put you in jail for doing that. And that's what's going on.
I mean, it's just insane, Danny. I mean, it's just so insane. I mean, it's the opposite of the way it should be. Just as with that subway guy who, you know, takes down this monster in the subway now, he's going to be prosecuted. I mean, the St. Louis couple who came out and just showed their weapons when hundreds were pouring onto their property and threatening their lives. And they were both attorneys, Danny. And they get prosecuted. I mean, talk about having everything inside out, upside down, inside out, upside down, unreal.
Well, what's going on, sir? And I've said it before. Many people I confer with on a regular basis have called these people depopulation agents. And the elite have set these people free for the purpose of taking people's lives. And they don't want you to interfere with any of these criminals that are doing that. They have these criminals on the street. They're out, you know, taking people's lives every single day. And they don't want you to interfere or stop that in any way. That's why they demonize the police every time they take one of them out. You know, the officer is bad, didn't need to shoot him, even though he had a gun. It's getting ridiculous, sir. Like, well, he was holding a gun, but did the bullets actually hit you, officer? Isn't it true that they just kind of went in your direction, but you didn't really have to shoot him? He was holding a gun, but was he pointing it directly at you, or was it kind of pointing off in the direction? Was he actually shooting it at that time? You know what I mean? The fact that he was holding the gun they're trying to go after police as not deadly force, not a reason to shoot somebody. I mean, it's absolutely a joke what's going on out there. And when a law-abiding citizen uses a firearm to protect themselves from these criminals, it's ridiculous. And I'll say it again, sir. They're putting hundreds of thousands of these convicted felons out on the street with weapons that are killing people. And they are depopulating, sir. Just like they use the vax, they're using those criminals exactly the same way, and they don't want anybody to interfere. And the way that they're putting fear in people is by we'll prosecute anybody that gets in the way or tries to stop one of them for doing it. Look at it. Look at any case where anybody stops one of these felons committing a crime, they prosecute them in a Democrat city. Every single time. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and they're doing it to send a message to people that you will not interfere and you will not stop one of these criminals
in the commission of them committing a crime.
Get this, Danny. Mitchell just put the notes in the chat that Kim Gardner announced a resignation Friday, June 1st, will be your last day. This was a St. Louis prosecutor who threw out more than 10,000 felony charges. Wow. I mean, Soros got these totally corrupt people in these crucial positions. He knew what he was doing. He detected a weakness in the U.S. judicial system, and he exploited it in a brilliant fashion to create calamity.
That's absolutely right, sir. And it even goes further than that. What they have done, most people don't understand how they work, have done this. They also have got a hold of a lot of the parole boards, and they've got people that they control appointed into these parole boards. And these parole boards are letting the most violent, deadly felons out of prison. They're not letting the people that write bad checks out of jail, sir. Okay, they're not letting the small crime people out of jail. They're letting the most violent, ill felons, particularly when they're black, out of prison, knowing that they have no way of going back into society. They're not going to get a job. They have no resources. They have multiple felonies in their background. They have no way of surviving on the street. The first thing they do is get a gun. And as soon as they go and get out of jail, they go to the inner city, and they start right to crime, sir. And we see it every single day. It's disgusting what's happening. And they have a lot of district attorneys around the country that Soros has put in or used his money to put in. Newt Gingrich went on Fox News about a year ago, very famous. He said one of the biggest problems we have in the United States right now is these corrupt district attorneys that George Soros has put into power. They're letting all the criminals go crazy. As soon as he said that, a booming voice came over, and it was the producer of the show, and he wasn't even in the shot. And the producer came on live on Fox and said, "Mr. Gingrich, we don't need to be talking about George Soros on this program. I'd like you to stop talking." And he's like, "Who is that?" He's like looking around.
What the hell with George Soros is a problem? If you want to address a problem, you got to address George Soros. That was outrageous. Danny, thanks for another sensational show, my friend. You're doing a wonderful job here, a real community service. Back on with more.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence